Doctrines of the Heart. Part 2. The Bible's Required Practical Doctrines. Selected Text. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Acts 4:32. In order to understand doctrines of the heart, one must understand who the one true and living God is. As one learns these doctrines, a person's life changes. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Looking at the doctrines of the heart, we see that God is love, 1 John 4, 8 and 16, which is a foundation doctrine. This love is seen in his Son Jesus, who was rejected by many, 1 Corinthians 16:22. By coming to know God's love, one desires to be righteous, a righteousness that is more than the scribes exhibited at Jesus' time, Matthew 5:20. This love brings self-control, especially when angry, Matthew 5:22. Finally, one of the greatest facets of love is the ability to forgive when wronged in any way by another, Matthew 6:9-15 and 18:27-35. These doctrines of the heart are developed when searching to understand the deep things of God. When considering doctrines of the heart, one of the first things that comes up is love. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, the Rotherham translation states, "If anyone doth not dearly love the Lord, let him be anathema, that is, accursed." The Apostle Paul understood that the greatest expression of love was the example of Jesus Christ. A well-known scripture even seen at sporting events is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved his human creation so much that he was willing to let his only begotten Son sacrifice himself to give mankind an opportunity for a resurrection and life. This demonstrated what love really is, Romans 5:8. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Ephesians 5:2. Paul knew that to teach anything other than God's gospel of love would be anathema, accursed. Galatians 1:8 and 9 from Young's literal translation reads, "But even if we or a messenger out of heaven may proclaim good news to you different from what we did proclaim to you, anathema let him be. As we have said before, and now say again, if any one to you may proclaim good news different from what ye did receive, anathema let him be." Not loving Jesus would be a rejection of God's love, the love that God wants us to understand. God's love is seen in 1 John 3:16 from the Phillips translation. "We know what love is because Christ laid down his life for us. We must in turn lay down our lives for our brothers." This expression of love is so important that Jesus makes it a commandment. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 15:12 and 13. The principle that Jesus is teaching is the recognition of others in our lives and putting them above or before ourselves. Our love for them is demonstrated in our actions and motivated by our heart. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Luke 6:45. Matthew 6:20 and 21 shows what the desire of our heart should be. "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Greek word translated heart is Strong's number 2588, cardia, which means the heart, figuratively the thoughts or feelings. Jesus put this simply in Mark 12:30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." To develop this kind of love, one needs to study the Word of God. In it, one can find the true meaning of what the love of God is. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. It is what we do, not how we look. Understanding love brings about the desire for righteousness. Righteousness existed in Jesus' lifetime, but in Matthew 5:20 he showed the difference between God's righteousness and self-righteousness. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Apostle Paul tells us about the righteousness the scribes were seeking. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Romans 10:2 and 3. In another letter, Paul clarifies this. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Philippians 3:8 and 9. Paul explains that God's righteousness is developed through faith based in Jesus. "For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." Romans 1:17. Exercising faith helps us understand God's righteousness and so apply it in our lives. Romans 10:10 in the Williams translation reads, "For in their hearts people exercise the faith that leads to right standing, and with their lips they make the acknowledgement which means salvation." Must not harbor anger, but must forgive. As one understands God's love, one realizes the need to develop self-control. Jesus showed the importance of controlling anger. "But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment." Matthew 5:22. Paul confirms this. "When angry, do not sin. Let not the sun set on your wrath." Ephesians 4:26. Paul knew we all get angry, but his advice was to not keep dwelling on it, because it would lead to sin. He knew he could control anger through forgiveness. Yet, when Paul decided to admonish, as he did for the Corinthian brethren, it was done in a loving, edifying way. "Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." 2 Corinthians 12:19. Anger can be destructive, and it would not exemplify our love one for another, so we must show self-control. Additionally, Jesus says forgiveness is essential. Matthew 6:9-15 describes the principle of forgiveness using the Lord's Prayer, and 18:23-35 shows its application in the parable of the unmerciful servant. In Matthew 18:32-33, the servant did not learn from the forgiveness given to him. "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Jesus finished the story with an important lesson. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Matthew 18:35. Forgiveness needs to come from the heart. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Luke 17:3-4. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Matthew 18:21-22. Jesus taught that forgiveness requires patience from the person who is forgiving. He showed that the person who is being forgiven may not change. If he offends again, he should be admonished in a loving, edifying way and be forgiven. Jesus showed that through a forgiving example, change becomes possible for an individual. If we come to understand the love of God and develop God's righteousness, then we will show self-control when we are wronged against. We learn how to glorify God's name by our forgiving. Stephen provides an example. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:60. Forgiveness also applies when we have wronged God and need to repent and ask for his forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. When we do something that is out of harmony with God, we need to go in prayer to God and ask for forgiveness. In his blessing of Israel at the dedication of the temple, King Solomon showed the importance of recognizing sin, turning from it, and asking for forgiveness. He showed that through forgiveness, a teaching opportunity presents itself for those who want to learn righteousness. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear, or reverence, thee in all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. 1 Kings 8:35-40. As Israel recognized their sins and changed their hearts, we also must recognize our sins. This means a life of learning and doing God's will. Jesus explained, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23. Summary. These are practical doctrines the Bible requires. If any man loveth not the Lord, let him be anathema. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Whosoever doth not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. Everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. Matthew 5:22. If ye forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:15. Doctrines of the heart are built upon love. By pursuing love, we learn about God's righteousness and grow in faith and His character likeness, following the example given to us by Jesus. Then we are to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Jesus' example will show us how to develop self-control, especially with anger. It is here that we learn how to forgive. As we develop these characteristics, we discover that there are other doctrines of the heart that need to be learned. Through all of these lessons and experiences, we will come to understand the deep things of God. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26.